When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Fighting Friday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. On this show, we're going to look at the fights to make after UFC 300. We're going to preview AEW Dynasty. Plus, we're going to look at what could be ahead for the WWE and book WrestleMania 41. So it should be a fun show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Let's start with some fight talk. UFC 300 was an amazing night, but it's now in the books, and it's now time for the Ultimate Fighting Championship to look ahead. So, we do this after every major pay-per-view, but I thought, like, normally it's the main card fighters, but this was a full card full of main card fighters, so we're going to kind of look ahead and see what could be next for each fighter on UFC 300. We'll begin at the bottom. Cody Garbrandt, I have him going up against the loser of Jonathan Martinez against Jose Aldo this upcoming month at UFC 301. I think Garbrandt showed and has shown, and I said this in the preview, there's still something there with this guy. I think a lot of people are assuming that he is just kind of cooked, and in terms of being a title challenger, probably. But I still think there's something there. And so I think he'll be on a similar timeline as one of these two. And I think that they line up pretty well. I would go Davison Figueiredo against Piotr Jan. Jan has made that call out. Initially, I had written down Marlon Vera. But if Piotr Jan's making the call out, who am I to deny them? So I like that fight. I think it potentially sets up the next title challenger at 135 pounds. Jim Miller, this one's a cop-out against whoever the fuck he wants to fight. That is my official stance. He is an absolute legend. If he doesn't want to fight again, don't let him fight again. If he wants to fight again, let him fight again. He has done, I think, a really good job of not overstating what this run might be for him. He knows, like, look, I'm not challenging for a title again. I just want to compete. I just want to go out there and fight. So just let me fight. So it will be random UFC fighter X that he will be fighting. But just an amazing run for Jim Miller, obviously. I have Bobby Green going up against Rafael Dos Anjos. A couple guys in the back nine of their career, but who are going down swinging. Bobby Green, obviously, with an electric performance against Jim Miller. Dos Anjos is, I think, a highly ranked fighter in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So let him bang. Let's see what happens. I have Marina Rodriguez against Mackenzie Dern. It's a rematch from 2021. Both fighters really need a win to get back into title contention and get back into, quite frankly, relevancy. So I think that is a very key fight for, would be a very key fight for both of them. Jessica Andrade against, and I apologize for the pronunciation, Vivian Giardinola. Again, like, you have Vivian, who is on a bit of a roll, and you have Jessica Andrade, who is coming off of a win. So I think they stack up pretty well. Jalen Turner against Benoit Saint-Denis. Both fighters coming off of losses in one of the, in like some of the more marquee moments of their career. So both young fighters needing a win, kind of getting back into that prospect status there at 155. Hanato Moicano, I have him going up against Benil Dariush. Moicano coming off of a big win. Let's keep that ascension going. Or Dariush kind of beats him back down and picks up a win that he needs to continue on at 155. I have Sadiq Youssef against Dan Ige. Ige has won three of his last four on a bit of a rise. Youssef just got shut down, but I think this is still an interesting test for him to try to move back up there. I have Diego Lopez against Edson Barbosa. Just a phenomenal all-violence type of a fight. I think that would be a blast. Holly Holm against Juliana Pena at women's bantamweight. Juliana Pena is on the verge of a title shot, but I don't know if anyone really wants to see her get a title shot. So I think having another fight, get her a win to maybe get her in title contention or get Holly Holm back on track, I think that makes a lot of sense. Kayla Harrison, Amanda Nunes, why not? She called her out. If Amanda Nunes wants to come out of retirement, let's have the GOAT come back for one more round against someone who was often thought of as a legitimate challenger for her if they ever could have got her into the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So I think that would be a blast. If Nunes is actually retired and isn't just doing an MMA retirement thing, then it's Raquel Pennington for a championship. Kayla Harrison has all of the resume that you would need and now has a win under her belt in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Boom. Title shot. Don't mess around. Title shot. Let's get this thing rolling here. Calvin Kattar going up against Arnold Allen. It's a rematch for when Kattar injured his knee. So I think that that's a fight that Kattar would want to have back for sure. Aljamain Sterling against Movsar Evloev. Sterling coming off of a good showing. Evloev, I believe, is top five. So that would be way too much fun to pass up. I say, let him go. Yuri Prohachka against Jan Blachowicz. This is depending on Blachowicz's status with his shoulder, but two high up contenders at 205 pounds. I'm not saying you get a title challenger out of it, but I do think you get something. Like someone who is close to it anyway. And you get a really good fight too. Cody Brundage against Cesar Almeida, coming off of a win a couple weeks ago on Ultimate Fight Night. The timelines, I think, kind of sync a little bit well, and both in, I think, relatively similar spots on the come up in middleweight. Bo Nickel, he called for it. Let's give it to him. Anthony Hernandez, this is the giant step up in competition that Bo Nickel has been clamoring for, and that people who have been watching his stock rise have been clamoring for, to see what do we really have in this prospect at 185 pounds. Armin Sarukian, he gets a title shot next. Whether that's against Makhachev or Poirier coming out of UFC 302 will remain to be seen. If I were a betting man, and you know I am, I would say that that is going up against Makhachev then, but Sarukian deserves a title shot coming off of that win. This was billed as a title eliminator, so let him go. As for the person who he beat, I have Charles Oliveira going up against Justin Gaethje. Both men coming off of really disappointing losses, but both are still legends of the game, and also have resumes that I think are deserving of a second chance at getting back into title contention here at 155. That fight would be unbelievable, and I think a warranted challenge for both, again, at 155. Max Holloway, give him Ilya Topuria in a soccer stadium or football stadium in Hawaii. Just put it in a place where you can put 100,000 people in there. Build off of this star that you have in Max Holloway, this star-making moment. Take advantage of this. Capitalize on this and give this man a title shot and give it to him in a place that looks fucking sweet. So that's all I ask for. Yan Zhao Nan against Carla Esparza, assuming she is ready to come back post-baby. If not, no pressure, obviously, at all. But I think that would be an interesting challenge for Zhao Nan and a chance for her to prove if her grappling can improve here after being soundly beaten in that area at UFC 300. Zhang Wei Li, I have her going up against Tatiana Suarez. For the longest time, we have thought Suarez is a title challenger, and she just hasn't been able to stay healthy long enough. So if she's healthy, let her rip, man. And I think that's the way to go with Tatiana Suarez. Then in our two main event fighters, I have Jamal Hill going up against Alexander Rakic, both coming off of losses again at UFC 300. So both could use maybe a bit of a rehab. And then the loser of that fight would be facing, I think, a must win in their next to kind of stay relevant in title contention. And then our winner of the main event, Alex Pereira, 205-pound champion. Give that man Tai Tuivasa. Have it be at UFC 301. Give this man a heavyweight fight. Why not? Like Luke Thomas said, let him fast track his Hall of Fame resume. I think he deserves that opportunity. There isn't an obvious challenger at 205, so let him go up there. Have a heavyweight fight. Don't have it be against the champ, but have him fight a contender and just see. So those are the fights I would like to see made coming out of UFC 300. All right, let's pivot here and get ready for AEW, as it is Dynasty coming up this weekend. We have been getting you ready for it all week. The time is now here to preview AEW Dynasty. It is pay-per-view time for AEW as Dynasty goes live on pay-per-view this weekend. And as always, AEW is bringing us a stacked card. You can talk all you want about frustration with builds and all of those sorts of things, but there is no question that this is an unbelievable wrestling show. So let's begin our preview. 12 matches, my God. I guess the, I was going to call them the prelims. I'm still in UFC mode. I do think on the buy-in, you get the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn going up against Bullet Club Gold, Jay White and the Guns for the winner-take-all AEW World Trios and Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. I could see Bullet Club Gold getting the win here. Like, everyone loves the Acclaimed, but I think Bullet Club Gold kind of needs that right now and needs a bit more relevancy in AEW. But honestly, the way it's been going with these titles for a bit, if these ended up just being mothballed, that would be okay. Especially the Ring of Honor ones. Like, if this is ends up being a unification one, Ring of Honor, I don't know if they have the roster right now for World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. So, Trent Barretta against Matt Sydal, that one's going to be probably a Barretta win. Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata, with one of the better gimmicks going right now, by the way, going up against Shane Taylor Promotions with Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. I had said before that I liked what Shane Taylor brought on Wednesday on Dynamite, but I go Orange Cassidy's side here. All right, pay-per-view time. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe taking on the House of Black. Adam Copeland is the TNT champion right now. I would prefer it if the House of Black won. I think that too many times, and it's happened a bunch in AEW, where you have randomly thrown together teams, and they beat teams that the edge they are supposed to have is that they are tag teams. And I think with the House of Black, they, like, the gimmick is obviously amazing, but I do think they could be elevated a little bit more, and I think a win in this spot kind of helps get them to that level. But this definitely just feels like a, we need more people on this card, so let's go with this one. Hook defending the FTW Championship in an FTW Rules match against Chris Jericho. I hope Hook wins this one, but I could see Jericho getting a run with this a little bit and dragging out this feud with Hook and eventually Taz as well. Roderick Strong defending the AEW International Championship against Kyle O'Reilly. This match is going to be incredible. These are legitimately two of the best wrestlers in the world right now going head to head. Their chemistry is obviously amazing from all of the work that they have had in Ring of Honor, NXT, and now All Elite Wrestling. I don't mind if we have a title change in this one. The International Championship, I feel like, has kind of taken a back seat. I don't know if we need four singles championships in AEW right now. Both the International and the Continental Championship kind of give off big European title vibes, but we'll see. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's fun to have something on the line, I suppose. But yeah, Kyle O'Reilly, I could see him coming away with the International Championship. House Rules match for the AEW TBS Championship as Julia Hart takes on Willow Nightingale. They have put in a lot of work getting behind Julia Hart and building her up as a legitimate threat as a professional wrestler. I love this character so much, and the House of Black just in general. I think this is, like, when the dark brooding character build is correct, it's pretty sweet, and that's what we are getting, I think, with the House of Black. But I could see Willow Nightingale getting a win here and kind of rekindling a feud with Mercedes Moné coming off of the injury with New Japan Strong. I think that would be the way to go with that one. But I could honestly see this being a three-way with Julia Hart, Mercedes Moné, and Willow Nightingale at Double or Nothing. Then it is the Continental Championship as Kazuchika Okada takes on Pac. I said before, like, they have made Okada feel a little mid-card to start things off. This match could 100% steal the show. I think this match is going to be unbelievable. Okada has to win here, and I think he has to look like a badass. I'm not saying it has to be a squash, but this needs to be a reminder that this is one of the best wrestlers in the world who is ending up on your television, and you get to see him every week. I think that needs to be a reminder. Tournament final ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championship as the Young Bucks go up against FTR. I think we probably get Jack Perry coming in here and costing the Young Bucks, costing FTR the tag team titles, and that brings Jack Perry into the Elite, and it's the Young Bucks, Okada, and Perry, and they kind of go on that way. I would have no problem with that. FTR has had a few wins over the Young Bucks, so I could see the Bucks kind of evening the score, so to speak. And I could see them building this up where it's the Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry against FTR, Omega, and Ibushi, if and when they get healthy enough to compete again, and have that be a blood and guts match or something like that. Like, I could see this escalating to that point. Timeless Toni Storm going up against Thunder Rosa for the AEW World Women's Championship. I see no reason to take the belt off of Timeless Toni Storm. I think there is still something here with Deonna Purrazzo to kind of pivot to. But this is another show where there's, I mean, look, like, basically every match on here is a championship match, but to only have women's matches be the just two titles is, I think, a bit of a disservice to something that was supposed to be a way to set them apart in AEW, is a robust women's division and more focus on the women's division, and that just hasn't happened. So I hope that Toni Storm and the great character that she has been helps to elevate that a little bit. Then it's Will Ospreay against Bryan Danielson in a just regular-ass singles match. Obviously, this has match of the year potential written all over it. This could be an incredible, incredible performance by both of these. Ospreay probably gets the win here and continues his rise up, although they have kind of been telling the story that Don Callis has been riding Will Ospreay into the ground. So maybe you could tell Ospreay is a little fatigued and has lost to Bryan Danielson. That spins into Ospreay against the Callis family, and eventually he gets a return against Danielson. Like, look, I was not at my best, so let me get after this one here. And then potentially in the main event, it is the AEW World Championship as Samoa Joe takes on Swerve Strickland. I think Swerve is World Championship ready. I think the fans are behind him. And so I think you absolutely 100% could go with Swerve Strickland getting the win here and being the one to be the AEW World Champion and have a lengthy title reign. I think you can build a star up out of this guy because I think he has superstar written all over him. I do wonder if we get Hangman Page coming out and costing Swerve the championship, and that sets up like some kind of a death match. Like I've said for a little bit, I wonder if AEW wants another crack at a barbed wire, exploding barbed wire death match. I think you could do that with Hangman Adam Page and with Swerve Strickland in kind of the blow off of an absolute blood feud between these two. And then Joe keeps the World Heavyweight Championship. But either way, I think that this match is going to be a lot of fun, and I think the goal here should be eventually getting Swerve Strickland as the world champion, because he has world champion written all over him. The build hasn't been spectacular, but the in-ring is going to be phenomenal coming up for AEW this weekend. Okay, let's pivot here now to the WWE, as WrestleMania 40 is in the books. An epic weekend that it was. So what's next is always the question. And that leads us to this exercise. I'm booking ahead to WrestleMania 41. Not booking the whole process up there. That would take forever. But I am going to look at what I think WrestleMania 41 could look like. We don't even know where it's going to be. Probably Vegas. But this is what I would do right now. Now, all of this could change given the draft, although they can get creative with that going forward. So night one. The Usos reunited take on the New Day for the tag team championships on whatever brand they are on. I think that the Usos, that they have done all right apart, but I wonder if you could get like a big reunion and get one more big match out of them against the New Day for the tag team titles. So that's something that I would consider there. I would go Tiffany Stratton against Trish Stratus. There are obvious comparisons given obvious reasons, and I think that this would be one that you could really elevate Tiffany Stratton off of. I don't know if in a year's time she is going to be full-on world heavyweight, women's world champion ready, but I do think that she is going to be ready for a prominent spot on this show, and I think that this would be a real good spot for her to take advantage. I have the WWE Women's Championship on the line in a fatal four-way with Bayley, still champion, defending against Liv Morgan, Nia Jax, and Jade Cargill. Obviously, two in this match, not necessarily known for the high work rate, but I think you could have a bit of a wild match with all four of them. The goal would be getting Jade on this stage and, again, trying to elevate her and advance her career and build up the star that I feel like they have in the women's division. I would go Logan Paul against John Cena. I don't think Logan Paul needs the U.S. Championship. I think this would be a big marquee match, and I think you would get a lot of creativity out of this one as well, and I think you'd get a pretty good Cena match, and he's talked about wanting another run. I think the promos in this would be unbelievable, and obviously all of the hype that you would get from traditional media would be a whole lot of fun with it as well. Then we get the regular, oh my god, there's so many people in this ladder match for the U.S. title. I would have Andrade, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Chad Gable, Finn Balor, and Ilya Dragunov, all in a wild and wacky ladder match. Kevin Owens probably deserves a little bit better than this, but there's but so many main event spots. But I think that match would be wild. Then we get to the World Heavyweight title. Gunther defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Sami Zayn. We love our long-term stories, and you could tell a story about how Gunther turned the embarrassment of losing to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania and turning that into his rise to the World Heavyweight Championship. But there has always been this thorn in his side, and Sami Zayn, who has ridden a wave of confidence off of his Intercontinental title reign, and rides that up into a performance for the to be the number one contender for the world's heavyweight championship. And then, fuck it, man, have Sami Zayn beat him there too. I think you could just tell a really, really fun story and have a bit of revenge on the mind. We obviously know these two have incredible in-ring chemistry, and WWE likes those long story things to kind of tie it all together now in this current era. So I think that'd be a fun way to do it. And then the night one main event is Roman Reigns against The Rock. It probably isn't. If you're doing Roman Reigns against The Rock, it's probably night two, but for the sake of this, I'm doing that. Night two starts with Rey Mysterio Jr. against Dominic Mysterio, and I know some people might roll their eyes because we've had that basically at two WrestleManias in a row. This, the last one, a hair versus mask match. Dominic Mysterio against Rey Mysterio. And then honestly, you can go either way. If Rey wants to get unmasked again and give his son that sort of a push, I think you could do that. If you wanted to shave Dom's head and get rid of the mullet, I think that would be a fun story as well. Then I have for the other tag team titles, I have the Creed Brothers going up against the Wyatt Six, which we are rumored to be getting. I didn't want to just like pull like, oh, and you could do this, and here comes Stone Cold, and The Undertaker's going to wrestle, and Shawn Michaels is going to wrestle. I wanted to keep it to wrestlers who are kind of under the umbrella right now, but we all kind of have an understanding that this group is going to be coming in. And so I think whatever combination of Uncle Howdy and Matt Hardy and Braun Strowman, and who else? Eric Rowan. Whatever combination of that would be a tag team title person, do that. And then my women's tag team title match, which is delayed a year, but I think you could still do it. Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch taking on the Kabuki Warriors. I think you could tell the story from last year's War Games that Charlotte and Becky have finally come together, and these tag team titles need elevating in the worst way. And so I think this could be a steal the show type of a match at WrestleMania if you have all four of those performers in the ring. For the the World Women's Championship, or whatever it's called, Rhea Ripley going up against Io Sky. The two champions who were going into WrestleMania last year now face each other this year in a bout for all supremacy. I just think it'd be an awesome match. And then I have Bron Breakker going up against Randy Orton. I think that that would be an amazing way to, again, elevate Bron Breakker, get him on a big stage, and have him face Randy Orton. For the Intercontinental Championship, Santos Escobar defending against LA Knight. I don't think Knight is going to be like 100% world title ready at this point, but I do think that the build for him to be a legitimate megastar, yeah, is obviously in the works. And I think having him in a co-main spot at WrestleMania would be pretty big. And in the main event, Cody Rhodes, you thought he was done with the bloodline, Cody Rhodes against Solo Sikoa. I would make Solo one of my projects this year for WWE and build him up into a main eventer. He has the look. They have given him this style and this character that I think really goes along with it. And now that he is taking over kind of leadership of the Bloodline a little bit, I think that there could be an elevation of him. I would have him win the Rumble, and I would have him face Cody at WrestleMania. So that is what I would do for WrestleMania 41. All right, that is the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You see the Flames stuff in the background. You see the Flames hat on. If you want to hear me talk about Flames, I was on Sportsnet 960 The Fan all day today talking about locker cleanup day. So check it out wherever you get this podcast. It's all up on Flames Talk. I don't know if my stuff is, actually, but either way, it'll probably be on demand somewhere. So go check that out. That's going to do it for the week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's playoff time, baby. We're going to have a ton of NBA, a ton of NHL, going to get ready for the draft. Some Blue Jays mixed in there as well. Wrestling, MMA never stops. It's going to be a wild ride the next couple of months. Hopefully you're along with me here on Couch Potato Diary. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to all of you later. I'm out.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.